305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I have more pieces of the Israel agenda. People are reaching out. Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? What are you doing? So I'm going to share some of them with you as I head through the afternoon. There's still a number I'm not allowed to share, but they're going to be good. We got Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. He's going to join us at 3:35, former federal prosecutor. Where are we with all of the lawfare actions? Every time you turn around, there's yet another legal action, a lawsuit somewhere. But there was a big decision out of Houston, Texas, a little bit earlier today, all about ballot security, mail-in ballots. Well, I got news for you. You know what the judge said? You know what the judges said? They said they're not secure. They're not safe. They're not reliable. And it was a major, major smackdown of the Biden folks. So, actually, good stuff. That's what I would say. Some really, really good stuff. We'll touch on that with Joe Moreno as the afternoon plays out. We've got a lot that we're going to be analyzing. Jeremy is somewhat better, not entirely up to snuff, but nonetheless, we're happy to have him back amongst the ranks of the living. We have a pair of tickets for our Cookout 400 that's coming to Richmond Raceway Complex on August the 16th. We'll give those away at 5:40-ish. Ish. Emphasis on the ish. 5:40-ish. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to head on over to Richmond Raceway and enjoy the Cookout 400. Great NASCAR race, part of the Cup Series, all that other good stuff. The congresswoman out of Illinois telling people that first she is a Guatemalan before she is an American. She's an American congresswoman, just so we're clear. She's a Democrat from Illinois. I repeat myself, I suppose. But she's a Democrat from Illinois, and she was meeting with a group of prominent Latino legislators, if I understand it correctly, down in Mexico City. Well, I think that's pretty cool. I do. I think that's very cool. And it is focused on South America, this event. Understood. So it explains why she's speaking en español. I don't have a problem with that at all. Somebody's like, she ought to be speaking in English. Well, she's at a group where everybody speaks Spanish. And she speaks Spanish. Seems to me that would be the logical choice. However, this idea that first she is a proud Guatemalan before she is an American, I wonder about the people back in Illinois who voted for her. You think they go along with that? Wouldn't they think to themselves, I mean, I'm just wondering here, but wouldn't they think to themselves, hey, you're a member of Congress here in the United States of America. Maybe you should be putting America above Guatemala. I'm just a little puzzled by it. I really am. Just a little puzzled by it. And so it kind of forced me to analyze. If somebody said to me, all right, Jeff, are you, what are you before everything? Are you an American before everything? And the answer is no, I'm not an American before everything. And so I kind of wrote out a little list. I'm not going to go down all of it, of course. That's just craziness. But number one on the list, child of God. That's number one. That's always number one. Right? You can't put anything above that. Because I'm thinking the moment that you put stuff above that whole relationship with God, an acknowledgement that he's who ultimately created you and designed you, then you're just setting yourself up for a world of hurt. So for me, that's number one, child of God. Now, what's after that? American, Jeff, you're going to be an American after that. No, I'm not. I make no mistake, I love my country. No, I'm going to be a husband after that. Because my first obligation is to my wife. Right? So, child of God first, husband second. Number three, Jeff, American. No. Father. Right? Got three kids. So, child of God number one, husband number two, father, number three. Number four, the first open slot outside of those, will be an American. How's that? The only things I have above American would be God and my family. And for us to be proud Americans, I think those are exactly the things you put in front of, quote, proud American. But what she says is that before anything, she's a proud Guatemalan before she's an American, even though she was elected to Congress here in the United States of America. So I do have a problem with that. And I don't know if she's going to push back on that anymore. She was trying to explain it, but it didn't carry any weight for me. It just did not carry any weight. And I do think it was insulting, frankly, to those of us who are Americans. You know, I am very, very excited, as you know, about heading off to Israel in a couple of days. You know that. And I've never been. So for me, this is going to be a life-changing event. I know that already. I know that going into it. And as I look further and further into this agenda, I know there are going to be any number of things that are really going to be life-changing. But I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American Jew, but I'm an American. So I really am just puzzled how and why she winds up claiming that she's a proud Guatemalan before these other things. Well, all right. We can analyze it at some point, I suppose. Want to remind you about the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You are always welcome to hit me up on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I was looking through the James River Air text line. I mentioned to you that I listen, obviously, to Richmond's Morning News with Rich Herrera. Enjoy it when I listen. But I can't be there every moment of the day. So I actually have the benefit of being able to look back through the texts that have come in and getting a sense of some of the things that he may have been chatting about this morning that I might have missed. And I thought, well, wow, there's some interesting stuff here. Really interesting stuff. Weird to think that at some point this morning they were talking about dying from a broken heart. Well, I've definitely got to head on over to WRVA.com and take a listen to that. I hate to imagine that. I think it's true, though. I think people, when you look at couples, married couples have been married for so long, 40, 50 years, and one passes away, and then matter of days or matter of weeks, the next one passes away, the other spouse passes away. I think they've just grown so close. Don't you? I think that's got to be real. It has to be real. My experience, I mean, with my folks, my parents were married a long time. I don't know exactly how long. I guess I should be embarrassed by that, but I really don't. I don't know exactly how long. But my dad passed away 5 days before Harry was born. And then my mom passed away, what, 5 years, 6 years ago, something like that. And, I mean, my mom lived quite a while after my dad passed away. It was not an immediate thing at all. And that's because, frankly, I don't think they liked each other. No, I just have to be honest with you. I don't think they were crazy about each other for the longest time. I don't know, but it's just sort of bizarre. So I do not know what really the story is about dying from the broken heart. But I do think my dad was actually quite happy that my mom lived after he passed, because he got quiet. He got some quiet time. Right, he's buried at the Veterans Cemetery, the National Veterans Cemetery, South Florida, and for the better part of what, almost 20 years, my mom wasn't hounding him and bugging him and harassing him, and he was hanging out with his guys, you know, like other veterans. I don't know. I I think he was actually pretty okay with that situation. When my mom showed up. Finally, you know, I was like, here she is. Great. Now she's going to hide. Oh, my God. Look at the view from our plots. This is awful. Good. Well, why don't we have a tree? Just imagine the conversations that were taking place. It is 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday. Jeff, I get a Facebook message. Jeff, do you think that when you go, Heidi will die of a broken heart? No. I'm pretty sure Heidi's going to have a date for my funeral. Yeah, I really am. I think I might be plotting it already for all I know. By the way, I want a lot of wailing and crying and moaning. I want it like a New Orleans funeral, right? I want you to be as miserable as is humanly possible going, and then on the way back, have a good party. That's all. Good afternoon, Jeff. It's Ann from RBA. Your parents must have been a real hoot, as my dad would have said. The conversation this morning was actually rather heavy and sad, so thank you for the laugh. Absolutely. I laugh about everything. It's just the way it is. You have to. Do you know I got my mom a discount urn when she passed away? Oh, she would have loved it. I'll bet you she's still telling her friends now, right? So after my mom passed away, and I think I shared this years ago, my brother had sold his house. He had gotten divorced, sold his house, moved in with my mom to take care of her. And during the last, I don't know, couple of months or whatever it was when she was in hospice, you know, I went down to Florida and it was tough. And I was only there a little bit. But my brother had really, really, really been through the ringer. And when my mother finally passed away, and it was a lovely morning. I mean, it sounds crazy, right? But my brother told me, he said, you know, Jeff, she was in bed, had brought her a cup of coffee. Bright sunshine, the like birds chirping, and she had her coffee, and came back, and she was gone. I was like, it couldn't have been a better situation. You know, we're sad that she's gone. Make no mistake about it, but it was okay. And I said, oh, all right. Well, I said, well, what are we going to do, you know, with the arrangements? Everybody uses that euphemism, arrangements, like we're moving chairs around. Her funeral, her burial, you know, what are we going to do? I don't know. When I get the remains back, the cremains, they call them now, right? When I get them back, I'll let you know. So he went and he said, all right, I'm picking up Mom, and picked her up and came back. And I said, well, now what? I don't know. He said, but I'm done. I've got her. She's like in a, they give you a box. It's like a shoe box, which she would have liked. She likes shoes. And I said, well, we can't, you know, we're not going to bury her in a shoe box. So Jeff, I'm done. I've been dealing with this 24/7 essentially for the last year. If you want to do something else, if you want to get something else, that's on you. But I'm done. And I thought, you know what? Fair. It really was fair because I got it. He was just drained, exhausted. So where do you go when you want to buy something? You go to Amazon. So I go to Amazon and I put in burial urns. There's thousands of burial urns. So I start looking. I'm looking at the prices. I'm thinking they're crazy. If I spent that kind of money on a burial urn, my mom would come back from the dead and cut me up beside the head. Do you know there was in the used, yes, a used urn. Now, just so we're clear, it had never actually been used. But it had been purchased by somebody. I don't know if it was the wrong color, the wrong size, and it was returned. So I bought that one. It was a discount one. And I've got photos of it, and we laugh about it because my mom would have been so proud and so happy that her very last act here on Terra Firma, if you were, would have been being involved with getting a great deal. I got her. Oh, what a deal. Close to wholesale, Mom. See, now you're proud of me. 325, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 335, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's always fun dealing with things like, oh, I don't know, CVS and Ashland. Good Lord. That's all I'm going to say. All I'm going to say. All right, I'll say this before I get to Joe Moreno. Maybe there's a major lawsuit in this. Text Jeff. Here's your prescription ready. Come pick it up. Get to the counter. Jeff, your prescription expired yesterday. We can't sell it to you. But it's in the bag, ready to go, and you literally just texted me. No. Well, yeah, here's the text. All right, now, as I bang my head against the wall, maybe I can... Can I sue for some sort of damages to my head? I don't know. All right. Joe Moreno is the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. And if anybody can figure out some way to litigate the matter, I guarantee it's him. Former federal prosecutor handling way more important cases than something stupid like that. But he is with us. Counselor, thank you for being here.
Jeff, happy to do it. And glad to give you the friend's discount, by the way, and any litigation needs you might have.
Excellent. But, oh, I love this. A discount. This is perfect. This is perfect. Can I sue them as I bang my head against the wall out of frustration?
I wouldn't recommend banging the head, but yeah.
All right. Well, I'll deal with customer service. That'll be a more pleasant experience slightly, I suppose. What's the deal right now with these district court judges? Nobody is paying attention, Joe. They keep ruling against the president. What is going on?
I think this is a continuation of what we've seen the last few months, okay. That each time the Supreme Court or another appeals court slaps them down, they just keep doing it again. And I think that any sense of reputational harm that I think existed historically, where judges really did not want to get overturned on appeal, mm-hmm. because it obviously impedes their record, I don't think they care anymore. I think that they get their few minutes of fame. I think they get their name in the headlines. And no matter how ridiculous, no matter how it's absurd some of these rulings are, they go ahead and do it anyway, probably knowing full well they'll get overturned, and they don't care. So whether it's trying to stop the president from conducting business in the executive branch or trying to force Congress to fund things that it doesn't want to fund, even though Congress clearly has the power of the purse per the Constitution, these judges are pretty shameless.
Jeez. I would be embarrassed, Joe. I would just be embarrassed. But my thought is that they are so ingrained in these insular, I'll just say it, left-wing communities, they're at the right cocktail parties with the right people who say, hey, that a boy, good work standing up to Trump.
You know, you could give me any issue as a judge, right? And I can find a way to get to the result that you want, right? And I could even do it with a straight face. Now, it doesn't mean that's the right argument or the right conclusion, but I could find a way to sort of, you know, back into it. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think the judges know what end result their side of the political aisle wants, and so they will twist themselves into pretzels, if necessary, to get there. And again, knowing full well they will get overturned. And I don't, you know, they really don't have any concern about that anymore, like they did historically.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's like having baseball cards, right? It would be on the back, and here's your percentage of being overturned, and that doesn't look good. You need to make the all-star judges team or something. So is there a way to handle this other than saying, okay, here we go again, headed back to the Supremes?
No. I think that it, so his, remember, judges have a somewhat unique status in that they are appointed and confirmed for life. There's no, they don't get fired for poor performance or making bad decisions or getting overturned on appeal. The only way to remove them, other than, of course, if they resign, is to impeach them, which is sort of like impeaching a president. It's extremely rare and really is only utilized in cases where a judge maybe commits a crime. So stealing or something or a physical crime, it's very rare. So there's really no consequence for doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, as someone who has practiced before both state and federal judges, they're very much held in esteem. They get nothing but deference in the courtroom. They have a small little army of clerks that they select from the top law schools. And they're really treated like kings and queens. And I think I think at some point it sort of goes to their head. Yep. That they know best. Mm-hmm. And doesn't really matter what the Constitution or the law says. They're much more end result oriented. So therefore, again, they pick the conclusion that they want, and then they find a way to argue how to get there.
Jeez. You know, it doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in our system, Joe. I've never been in front of a judge like that on that sort of matter, but boy, it's terrifying to think that that's the case.
Well, I think the Supreme Court did the right thing in slapping back the nationwide injunction scam. Okay. Although it's not perfect fix, because there's still the class action loophole that we've already seen some judges apply. But what I think also has to be addressed, which has not been, is the forum shopping. The idea that you can choose a jurisdiction where you get a sympathetic judge, and now you ask for a class action case, basically, to be given status, and you go with that. Mm-hmm. And so it's we're halfway there. I think we have to go further, though, and really tie an issue to one particular jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So typically where someone lives, or someone works, or an issue is being actively litigated, but not be able to have a case in New York and find some federal judge in New England or even California who's willing to step in. Yeah. I think that's really got to be nipped in the bud still.
Joe Moreno is joining us, former federal prosecutor, smartest lawyer on God's green earth. So who would do that? Is that the Supreme Court, or is that Congress that sets those sorts of rules?
Well, it's unclear, believe it or not. And I don't think Chief Justice Roberts is going to make it any clearer. He has not shown any interest in reining in the judiciary. So I think he could do it, arguably. I don't think he will. And I think you'd look to Congress. And Congress, after all, does create the federal judicial system below the Supreme Court. So the Constitution only creates the Supreme Court. Everything else is created by Congress. So all the districts and all the numbers of seats and the circuits and all that are all set by Congress. And Congress does have the power to limit their jurisdiction and limit their scope of the kinds of cases and where their cases can be litigated. And so, for example, Congress took away a significant part of the federal court's ability to govern immigration cases. Doesn't mean they won't try. But a typical illegal alien does not get to walk into federal court and litigate his or her case. There's a whole separate immigration court system that actually is part of the Justice Department. And they really only get to go to actual federal court if they have a real significant constitutional question, which is pretty rare. Most of these cases are pretty routine. So Congress already has taken certain issues off the table for federal courts. So they're the ones that really could tighten the rules, that could really kind of set them down a straighter path and say, this is what you can and can't do. Now, of course, it has to be done by statute. You have to get 60 votes in the Senate, which is near impossible these days to do. So it's not an easy ask, but it is possible.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Did you have a chance to look at this decision coming out of, I guess it's Houston, the Fifth Circuit, where they have just said that Joe Biden and the folks who had sued Ken Paxton, the attorney general down there, totally wrong. The one judge, James Ho, right out of the box said that mail-in ballots are just not safe, secure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like a big win for voter ID and things like that.
It does. And so the this is going to be an issue that keeps coming up, right? The voter ID and the states that keep fighting back against it. Mm-hmm. We have a hybrid system, obviously, with elections where you have elections for federal positions like president and vice president and senators and congressmen. Right. But the rules for how the election works logistically is left to the states. So whether or not they ask for ID and whether they have early voting and whether they allow voting by mail and all that stuff is a state-by-state issue. Mm-hmm. The feds can get involved at a high level. So, for example, there has been talk about federal ID requirements, but they can never seem to get past Congress. And so victories like this will pave the way, but it's really going to be up to states and Congress, if they want to set a electoral process that voters can be confident in. I mean, my understanding is if you try to show voter ID in California on Election Day, they sort of close their eyes and say, no, I don't want to see it. That's how far gone they've gone in some states where they are just absolutely against showing ID for something that, frankly, is one of the most important things we do as citizens, is exercising our right to vote. So to say we not only don't require but don't even want to look at ID, it's such a bizarre thing.
Joe, when we lived in Massachusetts, it was like that. I can remember the first time I went in there, I just assumed you showed ID. They acted like I kicked them in the shins. How dare you show us an ID? No interest at all. And again, like we had done something wrong because Heidi and I went in to vote together. We had done something wrong by having our ID present, and I thought, I don't know, well then give me three ballots. I mean, there's no limits, right? And you don't care who's voting, what the heck. It was nuts.
And I've yet to hear a good argument against why ID would be required. I mean, you get the same sort of tired things like, well, some people don't have access to ID, or what if someone forgot their ID at home and therefore lost their ability to vote. I mean, it's very weak.
Yeah.
Most states have provisional balloting so that if you do forget your vote, your ID, you can cast a provisional ballot, go home, get your ID, follow up, and then your vote counts. That's a very reasonable process to put in place.
Right.
But, you know, it's this sort of condescending point that some groups of people aren't capable or smart enough to get identification. I don't know who those people are, but that always seems to be the refrain.
Yeah, it's just nuts. Hey, Joe, I always enjoy having you here. I know my listeners are always thrilled to have you here, but it's not just here. You're everywhere, it seems. And what's the best way for everybody to stay on top of where you are, what you're writing, things like that?
Yeah, I write a lot for The Spectator. I'm on BBC News a lot, helping to educate our international audience about how we do things here in America.
Yep.
In some pretty positive times right now. So, and I love the feedback. So please don't hesitate to give me the good or the bad.
Well, it's been all good thus far, Joe. I always appreciate you being here, my friend. We will talk again soon. That is Joe Moreno, former federal prosecutor, absolutely brilliant, brilliant attorney, and I love the way he breaks stuff down. I really do. Now, you may be assured that Joe can speak lawyer, right? But that's the thing I always take away from these conversations. He knows the vast majority of us are not actually practitioners of the dark arts, and so he has to speak in pretty clear English, and boy, he does a great job just breaking it down so that even I can understand it. Nice, bite-sized pieces. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Rich Herrera will be breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. Please make sure you are listening to Richmond's Morning News. That is tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 455, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It's Tuesday. Thanks again to Joe Moreno. Some really nice texts rolling in here on the James River Air text line. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140 says, Jeff, you are absolutely awesome. I totally agree with you. You got to love God first, then the wife, the children, the neighbors, the country close behind. Thank you for reminding us all. Absolutely. It's got to be that order. I'll never forget, Jeff, this 804 says, Dr. Zev Zelenko's interview several years before he died so prematurely. When he was asked who he is, he responded he was first a servant of God. Also a devoted husband and father. You are that too, Jeff. Well, thank you. I am trying. I'm very much a work in progress, unbelievably flawed. Jeff, 804, Jeff, my mom would have loved your mom, kindred spirits. We repurposed everything before that was even a word. Oh, yeah, we were always looking for a bargain. That's why I'm saying my mom would be so thrilled. She is thrilled. I'm telling you, she's telling everybody at the Veterans Cemetery, oh, look what my oldest boy did. He got my urn on a discount, slightly used, ha, ha, ha. You know, it's just somebody bought it and sent it back. It wasn't like it was used, but got a deal. Walt says, hey, Jeff, please make sure you let Heidi know you love her every day. She needs to hear that because you don't ever know when. Good Lord is going to take one of you from this earth. I know because it's been a little over 6 years for me. Please share this with all your listeners. Well, better than me sharing it, Walt, you just did. And from RBA says, Jeff, I just got to tell you, I have not laughed that much in quite a while. Yep. Well, there you go. 357, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.